AFRICOM, the new U.S. military command for Africa, is nearly 1 year old. It's an initiative of former President George Bush, one likely to survive under the Obama administration. AFRICOM stands for the United States Africa Command. Africa is a continent of increasing strategic interest to the United States. It's thought a quarter of U.S. oil will come from Africa by 2015. Part of the United States Department of Defense, AFRICOM is responsible for U.S. military relations and operations with 53 African nations. It includes a $500 million program to support operations against Al-Qaeda. Raghi Omar has been looking at AFRICOM in a special two-part series on Al Jazeera called America's New Frontline.
3 months before George Bush left the White House, his administration unveiled a new military command for Africa, AFRICOM. AFRICOM planned to open a large base in Africa, but it did nothing to sell the idea, so the headquarters are in Germany. With its legacy of colonialism, many Africans interpreted AFRICOM as yet another military imposition on its soil.
Since this is something new and it has really great ramification in terms of the future of Africa, I think we should have expected that initially there would have been consultations between the U.S. government and African government.
America has a lot to live down in Africa, and leaders across the continent remember only too well how the CIA wreaked havoc, helping to undermine popular governments and prop up warlords and dictators.
Al Jazeera had exclusive access to the man who runs AFRICOM, General Kip Ward, a four-star general and the highest-ranking African-American in the U.S. Army. Ward was traveling from the base in Germany to Rwanda, where the U.S. military is training the army.
Well, I think the thing that we'll see here in Rwanda is a disciplined force that is also very much understanding of the role that it can play in trying to bring stability and security to the region.
The military training is only a small part of the relationship between the U.S. and their African partners. Ward is keen to stress that the drills come with developmental aid and diplomatic efforts. Rwanda isn't the only African country receiving U.S. military training, and the difficulty for Washington is that they cannot always control what those various armies then do with their newfound skills.
There are many armies in Africa that have been associated with national liberation struggles. And it is important that those armies evolve from guerrilla armies into professional armies, subservient to civilian, constitutional, and democratic authority, just as it is in the United States. How are you?
This summer, President Barack Obama had a strong message for Africans: zero tolerance on corruption and support for leaders who respect the rule of law and human rights. Despite Obama's blood ties and commitment to a new American direction in Africa, given the charged history and early criticism of AFRICOM, it's unclear if the new president will be able to make a decisive break from the previous policy. Raghi Omar, Al Jazeera.
And you can watch that report from Raghi Omar in full in America's New Frontline, Diplomats or Warriors. And that is on Sunday, September 20th at 14 hours GMT. Amira Woods is the co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies, a progressive think tank. Earlier, I asked her what she believes to be the main purpose of AFRICOM.
The purpose of AFRICOM is, it's three purposes actually. First, to control oil. Second, to counter China. And third, to pursue extremists in and around the African continent. So AFRICOM puts on a lot of flowery language about building schools and building wells, but really it's the expansion of the U.S. military footprint in and around the African continent.
So it's there in the interests of the United States, not in the interests of Africa?
Absolutely. Africa now provides more oil to the United States than the Middle East. As of 2008, according to the Department of Energy, almost 24% of the oil that's imported to the United States comes from Africa. Clearly, where there's oil, there's military interests. It's not only Iraq. And we see that as the strategic resources of Africa become much more the centerpiece for this global economy in this 21st century. It's not only the U.S., huh? It's Israel, Iran, China. There are quite a number now that are almost in this new scramble for Africa's vital resources. And so the expansion of the U.S. military at this time is to expand U.S. interests in securing those vital assets, those vital resources.
AFRICOM has tried to get a base in Africa. So far, that's proved unsuccessful. There is public resistance to it in Africa. There is also resistance among leaders in Africa to that. If that is the case where it concerns the United States, why are they then tolerant of China?
Well, I think clearly China is not wanting to expand its presence through foreign military bases. The U.S. has a network of now close to 1,000
military bases. But it's still exploiting the economic resources of Africa.
Absolutely, but wanted to have a physical presence where, particularly in oil-rich regions, the Gulf of Guinea in particular, seems to be an area where the U.S. was looking to have a foothold, where it would be easier to have a base of operations where they could not only do the intelligence functions, but also the actual military operations. I think this was the initial intent of AFRICOM. Actually, it was first described as maybe having not just one, but several key AFRICOM bases on the continent. The initial draft was to have quite a few of these military operations, these bases on the continent. And because of the pressure, it then whittled down to potentially one, and now it is none. It is still operating out of Stuttgart, Germany, because of, as you quite right said, that public pressure, the citizen pressure, as well as the pressure from the African Union and from Africa's leaders. Really only one country on the whole continent has outrightly said that they would welcome and offer to host the Africa Command.
How then would you respond to accusations that it's a bit hypocritical of African leaders on the one hand to say we don't want to have anything to do with the United States on this basis, but we're quite happy to take their money?
Well, I think it is in this 21st century, it's in the interest of African leaders to look to their own needs, to look to their own priorities, and to begin to carve out a way forward where Africa can determine its own destiny and its own future. Questions of sovereignty really dominate. To what extent do you allow a U.S. military base in your country? We have seen in Honduras where a U.S. military base was actually irrelevant because, you know, the democratically elected government was taken out of office, and many say, you know, it does not necessarily guarantee security of a government to have the U.S. presence. In fact, when we have seen the history on the continent, the U.S. presence often undermines the democratic leadership on the continent, bolstering military, strengthening the power of militaries that then launch coups against those democratically elected governments. So it is, I think, prudent for the African leaders to say no to the expansion of the U.S. military on their soil.
Do you see any kind of justification for AFRICOM to be in Africa? They have, in all fairness, they have played a key role in certain aspects of development assistance.
Well, so this is absolutely the problem. You see that there is almost this velvet glove that's covering the fist of the U.S. military. They talk about building schools and building wells, but really the military objective is primary. What is needed? Clearly there is a need for development on the continent, for building of roads, absolutely. But it should be civilian agencies. It should be directed by the leadership of the countries themselves, determining where those roads and schools and wells should be built, not the U.S. military pursuing its own military objectives and using the guise of development. I think it is also critical to say that there should be development civilian agencies that are operational in Africa, not only militaries that are doing these development work, but civilian agencies doing civilian tasks. This is a critical change that has come to pass in a post-Iraq war world. And I think it's a change that should be fought against because the military doing development, doing diplomacy is often really the worst place to do those types of civilian tasks.